see one last thing, and this is so important, and that is that one of these men went from the undeserving to the deserving. And that answers the question, is there any hope for us? One writer said, what we learn from the saved thief on the cross is that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, and no matter the number of our sins, and no matter if we or the world think our sins are minor or extreme, it is never too late to repent and accept the free gift of salvation. The answer to the question, is there any hope, is yes. There is hope for the undeserving, and it is found in Jesus. I want to read to you from Luke's account in Luke chapter 23. Because Luke gives us the end of the story. He's the one who records the end of the story for us. You remember Paul Harvey had that little thing, and he would tell a story, and he'd say, now you know the end of the story. Well, as we read Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 32, you are going to know the end of the story. And there were two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they came to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, and even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Messiah, the Christ, save yourself and save us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Remember who this man was. He was a violent, wicked, calloused criminal who had plundered anyone that he came in contact with for anything that he could take from them. By the way, I find it ironic that they released Barabbas, who was a known insurrectionist, had led rebellions against Rome, and that they crucified this man. That alone may tell us just how wicked he was. He wasn't the one who was pardoned in place of Jesus. He was crucified with Jesus. And perhaps that tells us more than anything else just how violent and how wicked he was. And yet, in the end, he found forgiveness and he found hope. Several weeks ago, we posted something on our church Facebook site. We do that every day. Every morning, there's a little thing to encourage you. It might be a passage of scripture. It might be something. If I remember right, the one on this particular day said, don't say God isn't speaking if you don't open your Bible. That's a good one. That's a challenging one for us. And in response to that, we received a message. I'm going to read it to you word for word. The writer was upset at that posting because we believe that the Apostle Paul could be forgiven. that after living a life of sin that included torturing Christians and arresting them and putting them in jail and even having some of them killed, he could find forgiveness. And he wrote this. He called him Saul the Butcher. So all serial killers, aka mass murderers, commit uncountable murders like Hitler and Putin and every other madman in the world, and then can say, I love God, now write a book like Saul did and can walk away free? Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. You people are nuts. You are no better than a liberal prosecutor from California. I don't know who that's in reference to. And then in all capital letters, which, by the way, for those of you who make postings on Facebook, all capital letters imply you're screaming at someone. Please don't do that. He adds, what a disgrace. That's us. We are the disgrace. Did you know the Bible answers a person like that? Let me read it to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, here's what the Bible says. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is a power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. That's what he was seeking after, wisdom. How can you have wisdom that says a man who can kill hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe millions of people can be forgiven? But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, his human wisdom led him to believe that God could not forgive someone as wicked and vile as Saul of Tarsus, or Hitler, or Putin, or whoever you want to name. But even with what the Bible says, I'll accept his allegation. I even agree with him. It is a disgrace. It's a disgrace that our sin, for which we should pay, is put on Jesus, who is completely innocent, and we should go free. It's a disgrace that after all of my disgusting sin, I can walk away from the penalty free. But that's the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is not that I walk away free. The essence of the gospel is that I walk away free because Jesus paid for my sin. He implies that there's no payment for Saul's sin or for anyone else's sin. But sin always has a price, and that price is always paid. Salvation is never, ever free. And because Jesus paid for my sin, there is hope even for the most undeserving of sinners. You see, the issue that this man, and I'm not putting him down by sharing this with you. I hope he's listening. I hope he hears this. I don't answer him on Facebook. I'm not getting into arguments with people. But what he fails to realize, and what so many people fail to realize, is that the issue is not about how bad my sin is. The issue is about how great the grace of God is. In God's eyes, I'm a sinner if I've committed one sin. or if I have committed 1,000 sins. It only takes one sin to be classified by God as a sinner and to be guilty before the throne of God. And can I tell you something? Saul of Tarsus, or Hitler, or Putin, or whoever, is no more guilty than I am. But here's the good news. John chapter 1 and verse 16. In His fullness, the fullness of Christ, in Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. To get the point across, because when you translate, how it's worded in the original language doesn't always translate well into a receptor language. And so the Amplified Bible has tried to get across the Greek for us here. Here's how they translated it. For out of His abundance we have all received, we've all shared, we've all been supplied with, listen, one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. That's what it means, grace upon grace. It means one grace of God piled on top of another, piled on top of another, piled on top of another. You may sin, and your sin may be great, as Saul's was, but God's grace is greater. Salvation is not about how bad my sin is. Salvation is about how great the grace of God is. And that's the hope that we all have in Jesus. The hope of His grace. It is a disgrace. We are nuts to believe it. It is a disgrace what God has done. But in His grace, He has given us hope. I want to give you five truths to take home with you today from this message. And the first one is, we all deserve eternal death. Not just because we have murdered millions of people, but because we have sinned. The Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages, that's what you deserve. You each go out and work each week, and at the end of the week, if everything goes right, you are handed a paycheck, or every 2 weeks you are handed a paycheck, or today is deposited in your checking account at the bank. You have been given a wage. You deserve that. You worked hard, hopefully. It's what you deserve. And you know what you deserve because of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. We deserve to spend eternity apart from God. We deserve eternal punishment. Number two, we can do nothing to save ourselves. A sinner cannot save a sinner. A person who is condemned cannot save himself. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus makes this very clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is only through Jesus that we can come to God. Jesus alone saves us. One of the great cries of the Reformation was, Jesus alone. You can't be saved in any other way. If you're trusting on anything else other than what Jesus did on Calvary, you will not ever see God's heaven. We can do nothing to save ourselves. And so that leads us to number three. Jesus died so that we can have life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life. Jesus' primary reason for coming into the world was not to give us a moral example of how we should live, although He did that. His primary reason for coming into the world was not to heal people, although He did that. His primary reason for coming into the world was so we could have eternal life. I have come that you might have life. Number four, Jesus alone can save us. Neither is there salvation, Acts 4:12, in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Salvation from sin is in Jesus alone. Whether you are the most righteous person who has ever lived and you've only committed one sin in your life, or whether you're the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who was, in the words of the writer to our website, the butcher. Jesus can save you. And finally, number five, you can find forgiveness and hope in Jesus. Jesus extends an invitation to anyone who will come. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest that Jesus offers is an eternal rest from the sin of our lives, from the trials of our lives, from the temptations of our lives, from the suffering of our lives. And it is the same rest that he gave to the thief on the cross who finally understood who Jesus was. Let me go back again to Luke's gospel in chapter 23 and verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. I'm always a little suspicious when I read that. I don't think he was so concerned about Jesus coming off the cross and us. He was hoping that Jesus would come off the cross and help him. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we deserved it, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And these words of hope, Jesus said, assuredly, absolutely, without a doubt, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. I don't know what group you're in today, whether you're in the group called the undeserving or you're in the group called the deserving because of Jesus. But if you are in the group called the undeserving, you can go to the group of the deserving as easily as this thief did. He didn't become a church member. That didn't put him in the group of the deserving. He wasn't baptized. That didn't put him in the group of the deserving. He wasn't even nice to people. That didn't put him in the group of the deserving. You know what did? His faith in Jesus. And if you put your faith in Jesus for your eternal salvation, you can go from the undeserving to the deserving. And I want to pray for you today as I close this message, that God will speak to you by his Holy Spirit and help you to see that you can become the deserving because of Jesus. Father, thank you for this simple story of two men who were undeserving of your grace. Just like Saul of Tarsus was undeserving of your grace. Just like I was undeserving of your grace. Just like every person on this earth is undeserving of your grace. And yet, because your grace is so immense, they could find forgiveness. The hymn writer wrote that song, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. It is your grace that saves. By your Spirit, our prayer is that you will speak to someone's heart today, that they will finally recognize that they have not sinned beyond what your grace can reach them, and that they will trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray for that man who wrote that letter. We're not angry with him. We're not upset with him. We want him to know Jesus. We want him to experience the grace of God. Speak to his heart. Bring a witness of your grace into his life that he might recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And then by placing his faith for eternity in Jesus, he too can be forgiven. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.